Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning Envy Pro call and our last call of 2021. I'd like to welcome you, those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which of course you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by going to motorvitality.com where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. So, again, last call of the year, and I think we're just going to kind of have a casual conversation today, but I'm going to start the call off the way I do every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions you might have? Anybody have anything this last week?
So, I have, I'm sorry. So I just on a side note, I know one of the things we're going to kind of chit-chat is about where I am at right now.
Mm-hmm.
But so one of our MV pros, one of our clients has contacted us and has talked to us a little bit about filling out paperwork. One of the MV pros is having a little challenge on filling out paperwork. And, you know, I guess I can't state enough how important it is to make sure that you're giving the
Brenda.
Installers and giving the office staff and everybody else, you can't give them too much information. So, you know, information, pictures, and just make sure everything's filled out complete, because there have been times that they show up and they don't have the right color faucet, or times that they show up and it's like, oh, we didn't know we're going to need an extra 20 foot of copper that might not be on the truck because it's the last job of the day. So as a sales professional, you have to remember you're kind of the foundation as far as once you go in and you do the sale, and then, you know, the office needs to know what they need. The service technicians need to know what they need. And, you know, so just take the extra 2 to 3 minutes to put down as much information as you can, just to help everybody out. So I think that's my...
You know, Jen, I can't back you up enough on that. I remember when, you know, you and I were at the company where we started, you know, that was something that there are so many reasons. Number one, first off, the best salespeople, they're out there working, that, you know, they're going from lead to lead. And, you know, sometimes in the home, you're talking to somebody and filling out the paperwork is awkward and hard. And then you're moving on to the next appointment and you've had, you know, 3 appointments in the day, and you get down at the end of the day and you're tired and you go, I'll do it in the morning, and you do it. And you're like, oh, I got to send that in, and you may forget things or whatever. But it is so critical to your point. It costs the company money. It creates frustration, and it really deteriorates the relationship between the service and sales department, because, I mean, that's where you get it takes a salesperson 2 minutes to say it and an installer or service technician 2 hours to do it, right? But... there is a significant cost associated with, you know, checking the wrong box or not knowing the plumbing size look, there are times that somebody goes out and they may not know, you know, they may not see it. They may not know what the main is. And I think prepping an installer with that, saying, I wasn't totally sure where this was going to drain, or I think I saw where the water was coming into the house, but I'm not entirely sure. I don't know for sure. And so giving them a heads up that they might be running into something makes all the difference in the world. But you remember when we were at our original company, you know, that was one of the reasons that I had everybody riding with the service techs at least once a month. And I know you have really continued to encourage that with all of our clients, you and I both, with all of our clients, so that we're riding with the service techs. And because then, Look, that's one of the best ways, because sometimes the installers can tell you what they need to see or how they need to see it, you know? So yeah, you can go in and take pictures of everything. And some of those pictures may be useless to the installer. Let the service installers tell you what they need pictures of. You know, what are the most helpful pictures? So take the time, talk to your installers. I mean, there's so many things to what you said about the paperwork, how critical it is, the importance of it. It's our job, you know, that we don't like, those of us in sales do not like doing paperwork. We hate it. I'm right there with, you know, I'm right there with every single person who doesn't like doing paperwork, but it is critical. It's one of the most important parts of the job. Good thought on that. Yeah. Anybody else have any comments about that?
I have a question. Okay.
Yes.
How do we get them to read the notes?
That's the other side of it, right? Stacey, right. I think that's an excellent question, because we have had clients where the salespeople are taking the pictures and then or making the notes on where to put it in. And now there's a couple things there. First off, we should never be locking an installer in to one thing or another, right? We should be telling the customer, there may be something I don't see here that the installer sees. I'm not an installer. They may see something that I'm not seeing that, and, you know, so that's giving them the ability. But for example, you write on the paperwork in big block letters, must be plumbed in copper, you know, because you have the rest of the house is in copper, and then you go out and you see that they put PEX in. You know, that clearly they either didn't read the paperwork or they ignored it. Go ahead.
I had one a few weeks ago. It was a Saturday morning install. Check calls me and said, I don't have half-inch copper plumbing. I didn't know it was half-inch. I said, it's written all over my notes. It's in the original sales notes. It's in the installation notes. And in the part where we check what kind of plumbing it is, it's checked there at half inch. I've got it in three places that it's half inch. And he's like, well, I have no half inch fittings on my truck. So he tells the customer he's going to be there Monday to do it. He calls in sick Monday. So I'm talking to the general manager, and he's like, what do you mean? He didn't know it was half inch plumbing. Didn't you tell him? I said, it's in my notes all over. I showed him my notes. He's like, he should have had this. I said, thank you. I can't make it more sometimes, and they just don't always pay attention.
Somebody else had something to say? To add?
Well, I think at that point, it's on them. I mean, you did your part, you know.
And the problem does perpetuate itself, because that's when salespeople then often say, well, they're not reading it anyway. Why aren't I, you know, why bother filling it out? And so really does have to be a company effort, right? You know, but Jen's right. It has to start with the salesperson. You cannot, you have to do your job. And if somebody else isn't doing their job, then, you know, and the truth is, them not doing their job does have an impact on your ability to do your job, which means that, you know, it sucks. And look, I wish it wasn't the case, but I know that there are a couple other people on this call right now where this conversation is resonating with them, because, you know, we told the salesperson or the, you know, they put the paperwork in and told them we have to be able to go in and say, you know, don't scream. I sent the paperwork in. I sent the pictures. I told you what they were. Why do we? And your scenario there, where the installer says, "I can't do it this day because I don't have the parts. I got to come back and do it later." That's an avoidable mistake. It's absolutely avoidable, and it is a company-wide responsibility. But I think Jen's right. It has to start with the salesperson.
Right. And, you know, it's not only the installer, you know, there's situations where or promising dates that, you know, you haven't checked with the office, there's another one, or else there's the, you know, the office when they go to maybe close out a job or something like that, and the right information's not on there, they can't properly bill. You know, it's things like that. You just to take the extra 5 minutes, 2-5 minutes, whatever it takes. It's just so important. It's just so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Really good point. And good question, Stacy, too. That's, you know, that is, I think that you're doing the right thing, you know, by going to the leadership there and saying, you know, this is a problem. And the thing, look, this is all part of the relationship. And we've done calls on this before where we've talked about it. It's all part of the relationship between service and sales. And just to sort of reiterate, you know, what we've talked about, two completely different personalities. You know, you've got the service techs or the installers that are there, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, they're loading up the trucks. They're having to go out there. You know, these are the guys laying, and gals in some cases, laying on their back under a, you know, under a trailer, wrapping heat tape around, you know, laying in the mud and cobwebs and the cold and wet, wrapping heat tape around pipes, you know, or climbing in a crawl space, or, you know, being frustrated because they can't fix a leak that, you know, just they can't get something to solder together, you know, whatever. And they come back just as, you know, they maybe run back to the office to grab a part and they see the sales guy or gal just coming off a golf course, you know, while they've been out there doing all this work. And the sales in most companies, unfortunately, are the ones that get all the prizes. They're the ones that the awards go to. They get to go on all the fancy trips, you know, to a lot of the manufacturers offer stuff. They're the ones who get the, you know, get the dinners and all that stuff. And they, you know, they look at the salespeople sometimes with bitterness, like they make, you know, way more money. And then salespeople, what the service techs or the installers don't see of the salespeople is that the salespeople, you know, are often straight commission or mostly commission. They don't see the varying paychecks. They don't see the late nights. They don't see the sales appointments that were 7 o'clock at night or on a Saturday where it's you're not going to make a sale of some little old lady who just wants to tell you how she came up with the names for all of her cats, you know, or you know, having to go home and tell a spouse that, you know, that big sale that you had canceled and now we don't have enough money to make the mortgage payment. You know, those conversations aren't being seen. And so you start off with two people, two different personalities and two different worlds. And already there's a disconnect between sales and service install, you know, so the importance of communication between the two departments is uber critical. You know, that's why go spend time with them and ask them, you know, empower them, make them part of your job. You know, ask them, what do you want to see on my paperwork? How do you want me to word it? How do you want me to draw the picture? How do you want me to take the pictures? You know, really make them part of your effort there. So really good topic, Jim. Thank you. Anybody else have anything to add or question on that? So, Jen, let's talk a little bit just for the next 5 minutes or so about, you know, tell me where you are and what's happening and why you're where you are right now.
Well, you know, I'm in this midlife crisis. No, I'm kidding.
yeah.
Tell me, where are you in life?
yes. Are you on a couch? Lay down. We're here to help. The go ahead.
I am currently in Nashville, which is really a cool, fun town. But it's not all. I'm not here all for the fun. The National Groundwater Association Conference, it's National Groundwater Week is what it is. And apparently this is the first one that they have had since the world kind of, the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
It's the first one they've had. So everybody is here just excited to be around people and see people and you know, make new friends and, you know, keep the old. But it just, the energy is awesome. But what's really interesting is, you know, the similarities between, like, we go to WQA or we go to the Water Quality Association or the different regional WQAs and the conferences. And it's very similar to what those are, where you see people and it's like in the hallway, they're like, hey, how's it going? And it is a little unusual for me to be walking through the hallway and I don't have as many people that are, hey, how's it going? You know, there's a handful, but it is, it's very cool. The energy is great. They've had some really good classes. Unfortunately, the first day I missed out on the classes.
Because you were on a plane.
Well, yeah, I was not
like,
on a plane.
Or on a tarmac. Yeah, exactly. On a tarmac and in a gate waiting for switch planes.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So that was a bummer that I missed the first day of the business classes, but I did get to sit in on a few of the technical classes, which kind of the interesting thing about the technical classes is when I was in there, it was all, there were a lot of them that were brand new to me, where they're talking about the depth of wells and what kind of casings and what kind of gravel. And, you know, it was very cool to hear those things. Excuse me. But then when I went to, there was one class that had to do with reverse osmosis. So I'm thinking they're going to talk about the big commercial ROs like they do at the Water Quality Association. And they were just doing the very basics with, you know, what is a reverse osmosis and what does it do and how does it work? But it was RO 101, just basically what we would tell our customers. And then they talked a little bit about the commercial also, but not much. So I thought it was really interesting in talking to people in the well drillers, and not many do water treatment. So, you know, as I'm talking to people, I'm thinking, gosh, this is like an excellent opportunity for people to build, for our water treatment to build relationships with them. So yeah. My goal today, excuse me, is to go in and try to talk to some of these well drillers and ask them questions about, you know, why do you not do water treatment, or if you do water treatment, what made you decide to do that? So I'm hoping to get some more contacts on that.
Yeah, that'd be so. What I wanted to talk about, you know, or just sort of highlight there is this is obviously a related segment of our industry. Well water is something that many of us deal with on a regular basis, right? So a lot of our clients, a lot of the people listening to this are primarily municipal water. You know, in most areas in the country are municipal water, but it's not uncommon for water treatment dealerships, many of you listening now, to have quite a bit of treatment on well water. I mean, it's pretty, you know, usually you need some form of water treatment on well water. So I know that I was in the industry for several years actually selling before I even really understood how a well was constructed. You know, I knew that there was a pipe sticking out of the ground, but that's it. I really didn't understand, you know, what was happening down underneath the ground there. And I also think, you know, it's kind of interesting because the well drillers, you'd think that well drillers and water treatment people would be a match made in heaven, that they would get along really well together, you know, that they would go hand in hand. But it, once I started talking to some of my local well drillers, and it's something, I'm wondering if you've seen this down there at all, Jen, but once I started talking to them, what I understood is they, you know, last couple of weeks we talked about the municipalities, how the municipalities really don't like our industry. Well drillers, a lot of times, don't really like our industry either. The point of use, point of point of entry treatment side of it either, because they go out, it's not an exact science. You know, they have to go down 100, 200 feet sometimes to get water, to get good water for a customer. And they're telling the customer how great their water is. We did a great job for you. And then here comes this water softener guy behind them, and this water treatment guy right behind them, telling them how bad their water is. And now they have to spend another $5,000 or $6,000 sometimes to treat it. And the customers, sometimes they're going back to the well driller, just screaming at the well driller, you know, mad. And so, you know, it does create an animosity. And in fact, I think sometimes well drillers get into water treatment because they get sick of having to fight against to argue against the local water treatment company. Those of you that have read my book know that I actually had an incredible relationship with the local well driller, a huge amount of referrals that came from them, because I recognized that and found a way to work hand in hand with them. Instead of going out and saying, you know, I can't, you know, your water's horrible, you have to have this, I would go out and say things like, wow, I can't believe how good a water they got you. They got you really good water here. That actually saves, you know, a lot of people out here have a lot more iron, you know, and they have to put in different treatment. You know, they actually probably save you a couple of thousand dollars in water treatment. And, you know, to be able to work with them and promote them and help them, you know, it's one of the first steps in building the relationships. Are you seeing or sensing any of that as you're talking to people? I mean, how are the water treatment people accepted down there? I mean, is that anything, has it come up in any conversations, or has it come up in any of the classes that you've taken?
You know, it's funny because, no, it hasn't really come up in any of the classes. There were, other than the reverse osmosis class, I thought it was interesting that there were quite a few well drillers that didn't seem to completely know what reverse osmosis was. Now, the other interesting part I realized on this class is that they talked about reverse osmosis, but they didn't talk about the maintenance of reverse osmosis, you know, which is recurring revenue.
Exactly.
They change once a year. And, you know, so, or any, you know, even your regular water softeners. But anyway, so I thought it was interesting that they didn't touch on that. And I wonder how many of the well drillers realized that, you know, that there is still maintenance to happen, because honestly, there are quite a few, I don't think they do, but it was really interesting. I would talk to one person and they would say, oh yeah, you know, the well drillers, they all get into water treatment and they love it. But then I talk to somebody else and they're like, yeah, they don't want anything to do with it.
No,
so it really,
no, because they have to service them.
To.
Yeah.
Right. It really depends on who you talk to here. So these are kind of bigger names in the industry that I was talking to. This the other thing that I've noticed here is that there is some carryover. You know, we have, I'm going to throw out some of the names, you know, Water Right is one of them that's here. We have Master Water Conditioning is here. So there are companies that are here that are trying to get people into the water treatment industry. So that was kind of cool to see that. But the other part is, as I'm talking to some of the key names here in the water industry, they were talking about, and I call it a little bit of the soap opera of water, I guess. They're talking about how this company has bought out this company and it's starting to grow. But these companies that used to do electricity, or they work mostly with groundwater or the American Water Works Association, they're all coming together and they're saying, okay, we have to realize that we're all doing this as one big happy family. You know, we
That's
can't have American Water Works Association and where they're upset with the dealerships or the WQA, because most of our water treatment goes through WQA, and they're upset because we're going in there and saying, you know, hey, this,
yeah,
this, don't drink the water. Or, right, they're bashing them. So they're all starting to come together and say, okay, we need to play nice in the sandbox. This, we're all in this together. Let's talk about the water that's coming in the ground, the water that's doing the municipality, and then let's talk about the water treatment. So all of these groups are coming together, and it is really cool just to hear the excitement of the people that realize what's going on, that, you know, we're all excited about it. I know I'm super excited about it.
Mm-hmm. Jen, thank you for representing down there. Let's talk. We've got 5 minutes here, and I want to finish up the conversation a little bit. And just, I want to kind of ask, I know we got a few people and you guys are muted and stuff like this. Stacey, you've been on every week and everybody, but I just wanted to take just a moment and ask, what do you guys think of 2021? You know, what most stuck out in 2021 for you? What was the biggest change? What was the biggest impact, you know, as it relates to you or what you do? You know, how did 2021 go? We didn't have a zombie apocalypse in you. I mean, it was still there, but not like it was in 2020, but what did you guys, you see anything? Notice anything?
One of the things we're running into is keeping employees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hiring employees. I mean, we're a bare bones crew on service right now, and it's killing us. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Service technicians, especially, I think, are, you know, that's across the board, across the country. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And other than that, I mean, I had a good year financially, but these last 3-4 months have been rough with service and things like that. And I'm not going into this next year with the hope that I went into this year with. Let's put it that way. Mm. I think as strong as 2020 was for us, and the first half of 2021, I'm just seeing more and more obstacles.
That's too bad. I hope that we can overcome those. And, you know, and Stacey, let's talk about some of those, you know, as we go into the new year, and maybe we can bond together and give ideas on how to overcome some of them, you know, and work together on them. Jen, what would you say was the biggest thing that you took from 2021?
Well, I think that for most sales and for most dealerships, it was pretty profitable. It's kind of this full circle. I have a hard time understanding how it was so profitable because, Stacey, like you said, there are a lot of people that just didn't want to work. And so with people not wanting to work, it's like, who's buying this stuff? You know, it kind of, but then at the same time, the supply issues also, we've run into so many of the supply issues. But, you know, looking back on 2021, I think it was just, somebody actually had used this phrase, how it was kind of a breath of fresh air to have a really good year again. And a lot of people don't see it slowing down in the near future. It will, because history repeats itself. But, you know, they're saying they don't see it slowing down in the near future. And these are people that have been in the industry for many years.
Yeah, for a long time. Yeah, and that's what I've heard, too. And I know that there are always frustrations, and we're going to have inflationary issues and stuff like that, and there are supply chain and there's staffing. But overall, I think, you know, and there's so much uncertainty. I mean, the Omicron and all that. And we go in, you know, we finish this year, you know, and start the next again with, you know, it feels kind of volatile. But what I took from this year as a positive, and I guess looking at 2021 and moving into 2022, is I think in 2020, we were really, really quick to shut each other off from each other, right? To we all locked down and we all went, you know, in social distance. And I don't want to get into, the merits of that and whether we should have or should not have, or, you know, and that's all other people smarter than me can hash that out. What I noticed about it, though, is that in 2021, everybody understood how valuable it is to be able to look at somebody face-to-face rather than Zoom, you know, to be able to communicate in person. And I, you know, just how we are social creatures, even those of us that don't mind some of the social distancing or being, you know, at home alone or whatever. In general, we are social creatures and we need human interaction. You know, it's what we, and that's what really struck me about this year was how much, so it's not everybody, but a lot of people seem to really appreciate the, you know, the interactions and the in-person. And also to tell you, in the last year and a half, it seems that a lot of us have lost people either through COVID or other means, you know, that were dear to us. And I leave 2021 with a really deep appreciation for life. You know, I had at least one big near death in myself in July, you know, with the rock falling on me. And I leave this year appreciating each and every one of you. I appreciate being in an industry where I feel like I can truly make a difference despite its ups and downs. I mean, it is more than just a job, but I've had an opportunity to work with some amazing people, to talk to some amazing people, to have some amazing customers, you know, to meet them and talk to them. And I'm excited about where, you know, Stacey, even when it slows down, we're in a recession-proof industry. You know, somebody like you and the rest of you guys listening to this that really see yourself as a water treatment professional as opposed to somebody who's working a job, you're always going to have a job. Whether it's in the company or the position you're currently in or not, you are in an industry that will become more and more needed as we move forward. And that's kind of exciting. There'll be ups and downs, but you're in, I mean, water, war, and healthcare. And you're in, those are the three that we will always have jobs in. And I, for one, am really grateful. I also am grateful on behalf of Moda Vitality, grateful to each of you, truly honored that you take the time to log on here. So with that, I'm 3 minutes over. And so I'm going to say happy holidays to each of you. I will talk to you next year, if not before, last call of the year. So talk to you next year, if not before. Thanks, everybody. Be safe.
Bye, everyone.